Hi, and welcome to Assembly Audible. I'm the multimedia editor for Assembly Magazine, Chris Smith. One of the biggest challenges in manufacturing is how to improve productivity and implementing technology successfully. Today's guest can help you find your way and has the key with the blueprint for manufacturing, the president and CEO of Magnet, Ethan Karp. Thanks for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, first, let me start by having you tell me about Magnet.
We are a very, very strange nonprofit organization. We are mission-driven to help small and medium manufacturers in our little corner of the world, that being Ohio, Northeast Ohio, including Akron and Canton and Cleveland and Youngstown and these cities with this beautiful manufacturing history to them, helping those small and medium-sized companies grow by actually getting our hands dirty, going into companies, helping them streamline processes, helping them design new equipment, helping them strategize about the future and their marketing plans, while simultaneously trying to bring our entire community together to solve some of these workforce challenges that are perplexing everyone.
Now, I know you recently launched the Blueprint for Manufacturing. What was the genesis of the program?
The idea was that there's so much going on in all of our communities about manufacturing. We're part of this national network, in fact, this Manufacturing Extension Partnership, MEP. There are organizations like ours across the country, and yet we all do things slightly differently because manufacturing communities are different, manufacturers are different, but we recognize that there's a beauty and also a power in bringing everyone together. And the idea behind the blueprint is if we told stories of what the future of manufacturers, particularly small and medium-sized ones, need, that we could bring people together, maybe not doing it the same way, but all going toward common goals, all aligning toward a common vision. And especially in areas where I live, there are dozens of economic development. That's what we are, an economic development organization. There are dozens of economic development initiatives, associations, chambers of commerce, people that want to build this building or that building. And often they forget about how important manufacturing is to the United States, certainly in our economy, where it drives half of our local economy is driven by manufacturing. When you have those sorts of stats, to ignore manufacturing is really shortchanging the future potential of your region. The blueprint is meant to elevate it so everybody recognizes how critical manufacturing is. And yet, there are some really big things that manufacturers and manufacturing needs to do in the future to be healthy in 10 years and to be growing.
So what are some of the outlines of the program and why should those companies be utilizing this?
So I have it in front of me. You can go to makeitbetterohio.org. And I can tell you that even though it is Ohio-centric, it is a blueprint that would work in any manufacturing sector. We are all linked, as the disruptions in our supply chain certainly tell us today. We are very much intertwined, for better or for worse. The four key things that manufacturers need to see and need to change, need to be thinking about, fall into the buckets of talent. This is a no-brainer. Going from a talent shortage to hopefully a talent surplus. Transformation, and that's really about digitally transforming your factories. That's on the shop floor with all of these buzzwords, big data, Industry 4.0, manufacturing 5.0, smart manufacturing. It's all of these technologies that are actually available today that represent the next technology leap for manufacturers, just like PLC controllers before them, just be like the automated, you know, assembly line and assembly lines in general. These are all technologies that have progressed the field. There's now a whole suite of them that are going to be required to transform companies. The third pillar is innovation. Companies thinking differently about their products and their services, not doing the same thing over and over again that they've done historically, because innovation of products and services, even if you're a contract manufacturer, is truly the lifeblood of differentiation, the lifeblood of competitive advantage. And a lot of our companies, having been around for so long, sometimes tend to forget that they need to continuously innovate. And lastly, leadership. To bring this all together, you need the leadership at a company level to invest in their talent in new ways. And I do mean invest. I mean, it could be wages, but it could also be strategies around how you're promoting people, how you're surrounding them with supports, how much time you're investing in the culture of your company. Investing in transformation. The technologies you need are an investment in time to implement them, as well as cost to actually upgrade capital. In innovation, there's no way around it. You need to be able to invest in new product development and give your team the time to do that. But there's also the community component. Manufacturers, for some of these problems, cannot solve them themselves. The talent problem, for example. Companies try. Thousands of people, companies in our region have tried putting so much money because they are losing profits every day because they can't fill the number of people they have. And yet, after a decade, they still can't fill their pipeline. They need to be working together to harness the whole power of the government, all those agencies working with people to be able to work together to solve those problems. So there's definitely a community component here that is required, which requires manufacturing leadership in a collaborative way. So those pillars, talent, transformation, innovation, and leadership, that is what we see as the future. That is the blueprint.
We're coming out of one of the toughest times in the history of manufacturing. How can the blueprint help industries as we come out of the COVID era?
There's no good time to do any four of those things. That's the realization of the COVID era. During the middle of the crisis, short story, right? Middle of the crisis, maybe not the greatest time to invest because you don't know what's coming up. However, think of all the thousands and thousands of companies that switched to make PPE when it was needed. Showing our country how much innovation potential we have, make entirely new products, all in weeks' time. I know here in Ohio, we made 50 million pieces of PPE from gowns to nasal swabs to hand sanitizer, you name it. Small companies were stepping up and saying, we can do this. And these were the same small companies that only 4 months earlier in a survey had said that innovation was really low on their list of priorities. So there's a huge amount of potential if companies harness that potential to do amazing things. So the blueprint is asking companies to think differently about these things and just do it. Because at some point, it's never a good time. You'd say, well, the pandemic wasn't a good time. Okay, sure. You don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you have to lay off people, but you had time on your hands. Well, now would be a great time. You can see the business orders. You can see everything, but you're mired in the complexity of dealing with broken supply chains and nobody has enough time except maybe your business developers who you can't send out in full force because if they brought in the work, you wouldn't be able to fulfill it. So there's never a good time for this, which means you've got to set your strategy up to look at these three areas and these four areas. And you've got to say, look, we're going to always be moving toward it in a continuous improvement type fashion. That's the message I send around, you know, when is the right time and why now versus earlier. There's never going to be a good time, but guess what? 10 years from now, if you don't do it, going to be bad. It's going to be bad on all these fronts.
So you spoke earlier that one of the main keys in the blueprint start with building a solid and a dependable workforce. What's the process for doing that?
So first of all, you've got to get it right inside your company. The thing that people often ask me is, why can't we get people? And long before, you know, we're talking to manufacturers here, long before the Chipotles of the world couldn't find people, manufacturers couldn't find people. And they were battling the stigma and all the things perceptions, et cetera, that are negative. That's what they were looking at. Now they have all that plus hyper-competitiveness in the field, just because nobody can find folks. So the first thing that has to be done is recognizing that this is not a problem that sprung up overnight. And it is a problem that tons of people have tried to solve. But here's the problem. Everybody looks for a silver bullet. If I fix the education here, then I'll have the people I need. If I raise my salaries over here, I'll have the people I need. If I do a career awareness campaign over here, then people will flock to my plants. And the fact is, you need all of that and more, and it's not a silver bullet. You have an entire system to get people into manufacturing that's completely broken, starting from the lack of awareness and ending with, in many cases, manufacturers that are paying too little and perhaps don't have the culture to retain people. Not all manufacturers, there's a lot of them out there that are setting the tone for this sort of thing. But if you don't look at the entire spectrum and say, am I culturally ready for potentially a different population of people I haven't considered before? Because guess what? Looking in the same suburban areas where you've been looking all the time unsuccessfully, maybe means you need to go into the more rural areas or into the city areas. And that means bringing a different type of person into your plant that may not fit culturally as your culture is today. And then how do you get them there? Are there transportation barriers? Yes. Does the talent development system that you're working with, the education provider, do they actually provide what you need and how you need it? My point is all of these things need to be aligned, which is why you've got to work together to provide the leverage to say, you're an education institute, you're a behemoth. Well, you're going to change because you've got your entire customer base sitting over here. Or local government, you're funding all these programs and they're all, you know, incentivizing people to go get, you know, clerical jobs and not go into manufacturing. You need to change. You need heft. You need to be able to collaborate to make that happen. So my answer to this is that it is a systems breakdown, and that the only solution is by bringing all of those pieces together, by manufacturers demanding it, by working together.
So Industry 4.0 is something that companies are looking at closely. Is it the future, or even more so, is it the present?
It's the present. It's the present. Big companies are doing it. It's the small companies that we have to worry about. And if you're a small company out there, it's you who are not getting the service that you need from big companies who are selling collaborative robots, for example. They're going after the companies that'll buy 100 robots tomorrow, not the one like yourself that might buy one or two and then expand to four or five. That gap in the market is a problem, because nobody's knocking on your door telling you how to do these things and making it easy for you just to go buy it. You've got to figure it out yourself, or with help of organizations like MEPs. You've got to be entrepreneurial, and you have very little time to do that. And because these technologies are not necessarily off the shelf, you can't just buy the next upgrade of your CNC machine with them. You actually have to say, well, how does this work in my layout? How do I think differently about how I operate? Which requires somebody that understands the business, the operations, even the technical side of what you do to bring that all together. And you probably don't have that many people on staff that do that. And by the way, they're probably occupied with about 1,000 other projects. That's the barrier that small companies face. It's right there. It is affordable today, but that barrier has to be overcome company by company. And again, I'll go back to the blueprint. If you set your 10-year strategy to be focused on these big things and digital transformation, well, then it will start entering into your quarterly metrics and your monthly metrics, and you'll actually do it.
Well, I know transformation, as you talked about, it's another big key of the program. It can seem scary, though, to some companies. Tell me about that, and why is it smart to take a look at what's happening internally?
What I think is scary is that people see this technology as something that is all or nothing. Like, they either have to do it all and transform their plant or nothing. And the reality is, manufacturers have trained themselves with good reason not to think like that. Why should this be any different than the continuous improvement programs you already have in place through Lean? In fact, you can look at a lot of these technologies as next generation Lean. Once you push the boundaries on your operational flow, and do you have good metrics that you're reading out, and do you look at your operational efficiency, et cetera, well, then you can add some sensors that says real time, how are you doing? So you can modify not on a daily or a weekly schedule, but on a, you know, moment by moment basis. That's an example of how it's continuously improving. And you don't have to start with putting data monitors on every machine. Start with one, see how you integrate it, then go to the next. Same with a collaborative robot. Try it in one cell, see how it works, expand. But there's one caveat. McKinsey coined this term, that the pilot purgatory. You can do these pilots and just stay there forever. So you've got to have that bigger strategy that says, in 10 years, if robots are what we need, we will have them everywhere. And so that you push past that pilot and say, if it's working, great. If it's not going to work, let's dump it and move on to the next technology we need to assess.
And if someone is looking for more information on the blueprint for manufacturing, how can they find out about it?
Go to makeitbetterohio.org, and they can see all of the stories, because that's really what we think matters. Companies telling their stories of how they've grown, how they've achieved what they've achieved, how they've considered each of these categories as inspiration to go figure out and find out what you can do yourself. And then as communities, we need to rally behind what we can do collectively. I gave the workforce example. There's other examples, such as, you know, helping companies open their doors when they do awesome technological things, so that their peers can come see what they're doing and not hear someone like me talk about it, but see it from their next door neighbor. And in innovation, right? How do you create the ecosystem in a community that supports it? How do your universities, how do your incubators, how do they all play together, so that everybody can be contemplating how they can do differently in innovation and do it faster, cheaper, better? These are examples of ways that communities can rally behind what they see in these stories at makeitbetterohio.org.
Ethan, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us on Assembly Audible today. I certainly appreciate it, and I'm sure everyone else listening out there appreciates all the tips and strategies, and we look forward to hearing more about the blueprint for manufacturing.
Thank you, Chris. Lovely to be here.
You can find our latest episodes of Assembly Audible at our website, assemblymag.com, and make sure to hit that subscribe button if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.